think you'll have a problem with it. We gathered, for you that weren't here last year, we gathered up several $1,000s worth of food. A lot of you cooked food, cooked sweets, and a lot of you helped monetarily and physically to prepare about 1,500 meals for the children at the youth, Brother Burley's youth camp, and there was no charge for that toward him getting the fees for the camp. And it made it to be where he could put a little more money back into the camp and not have to worry about the food. So if you will, let's start getting together. I know some of you can't come that came last year to help, but it's like Brother Joe Green's dad said one time, if you can't go, send somebody, and that may be Ben Franklin's and Teddy Roosevelt's and some of those Abraham Lincoln's and stuff like that. You can send some dead presidents with us, and they'll help out a lot also. So, but just start getting in your mind. We'll start getting you say, well, that's a long time away. 3 months is not long to get everything ready to go. So we'll try to, Lord willing, put all that together. And also, Mother's Day is May the 9th. And guys, we've been volunteered by the women to cook for them that day. And from my mother, she's got her hand up. She made that suggestion, and most of the time that's not a suggestion. But it was taken as a suggestion, so we're going to cook for the women. We'll have Pepsi downstairs before and after service, so that you can take some Pepsi. But guys, we need to get some stuff together. So we need to kind of have a little meeting, kind of heads up meeting to find out what's going on. And y'all don't have to show up if you don't want to, you know. But we're going to cook that day, all the men. Now, we can't take care of the kids and cook. Women, you're going to have to still take care of your kids, because it's going to take all of our effort just to cook. All right. We can corral all the kids somewhere if you want us to, but no, on Mother's Day, which is May the 9th, you sisters will be fed a meal here at church by us, the men. So, and, you know, y'all cook for us on Father's Day and every other day, so you know, it's not going to be chips and hot dogs, I promise you that. Mom's already said we weren't. Daddy said we were going to be on a fast that week and just have water and crackers. So maybe you better eat water and drink water and eat crackers before you come. But we may surprise you. You laugh. We may surprise you. We may cook some good food. I y'all know I can cook. But I know some of you can cook also. I know some of you can't cook. So, but we're going to do that on May the 9th. So keep that in the back of your mind. We'll get a menu together. If you have your Bibles, you would turn to John. And what we're going to do today is try to actually continue what we were doing last Sunday, but we're going to do this through the church ages and show how that, and it's like Sister Johnny said, it's a real good roadmap, and I believe it is too, because we all need a roadmap of where to go. You know, we even have GPSs now, but they're not always right. But when you got the old Bible, and you got the prophet's message, you can't go wrong. That's the best roadmap there ever has been. God decided that you and I could handle it. So, guess what? He saved the best for last. That's why that when we go and minister to people, I believe we're ministering to the cream of the crop. The ones that can understand more than anybody's ever understood. I mean, since the beginning of time, nobody's understood what you and I, even as sisters and kids, can understand what God has given us to go on. He's not left us out in the cold. What would be a God that knows everything and then just throw it out there and say, oh, well, you do the best you can? No, He gives us a roadmap. And He does not change, and it's like we were talking downstairs. God doesn't say, oh, well, I'm going to send Brother Collie to do something, and then, oops, I made a mistake. No, he doesn't do that. You and I may do that. You and I may pick the wrong person, as the 11 did in the upper room when they chose Matthias to be the 12th apostle. They did it by lot. And Brother Branham said, you never heard any more of him since, you know, for the time that they did it, because that's what man chose, that truly Paul should have been that 12th apostle, and considering he was, that he was brought into the fold, but not exactly with them on the day of Pentecost. But they pick, man, whatever man picks can go wrong, but whatever God picks, you kids, whatever God picks you to do, you know what? You'll never fail. There's no way you can fail. So let's bow our heads before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we come today, Lord, knowing you're the only true living God, and that Jesus Christ is your name. It always has been, and it always will be. And Father, you've put us here before the cream of the crop, the best of the best, the fighters of the fighters, the greatest people that's ever walked on the face of this earth. Now we pray, Father, that you would reveal yourself to us. You promised you would. You said you would send pastors, teachers, evangelists, and all apostles and prophets for the perfecting of the saints. Father, today, Lord, in our little part, I pray that you'd come by, Lord, and speak to the people one more time. You said you sent the word and healed the people and delivered them from destruction. So as the word goes forth, may we hear of, Lord, miracles, signs, wonders, even going on in the seat, Lord. Back there, Lord, this age truly is the age of manifestation. So, Lord, manifest yourself in our hearts and our lives. Be with us and bless us. Be with Brother Tom. He's been on our heart, Lord. Just bless him. Touch him and raise him up, Father, and be with each one that's not here. Bless the sick, Lord, the sin sick. Bring them back in the fold, Father. Just bless each one. Be with the little bride around the world. And please, Lord, be with the missionaries, Lord, as they're in the foreign fields. Just keep them and touch them. Make them safe, Lord, and may they preach your word to the people. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes. Just help us today. Be with us and lead us and guide us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Chapter 10 of John. This just sets a little stage. As Daddy had done this before, and it's kind of like the other one last Sunday. Brother Dale had been doing this, but he kind of did it in sections, so we're going to try to put a little bit of this together and see how it works. Chapter 10, because he's spoke on the porter several times, but let's try to focus in on what this porter does. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, remember Jesus said, I am the door, all right, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. Okay, to him the porter. And so the porter's the one doing the opening. All right. The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now to me, this scripture right here is putting the porter and the shepherd kind of together. Because if you hear the porter's voice, it's the voice of the shepherd. Okay, but you're seeing the porter, all right? But now he's pointing you to the shepherd, all right? And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Verse 4, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now Jesus said, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were which he spoke unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You may be seated, and the Lord adds blessing to the word. Jesus was telling you, why did he bring, I got two of these to give out. Why did Jesus start and begin to put a person in by the name of a porter? Well, I know a lot of you know this already, but if you be careful with those, because there's not but about 49, and we've got more people here. I didn't have enough room to run them off. So y'all kind of look on it with together. All right. Now, I know I'm going to be fighting turkey and dressing this afternoon. So, we may have to all stand up and say, hiya, 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 okay? But you know, if I told you I was going to give you $1 million if you didn't bat your eye at the end of this service, then I'll guarantee you, y'all be doing toothpicks and all everything else to try to stay away. Doesn't bother me if you want to stand, shake yourself. You're not going to bother me. But Jesus was telling us there was a person called a porter. Now, if you go down to some of the kids that's been in school, and I know Hope's kind of went around, if you go on these little field trips and stuff, or if you go stay in a fancy motel, if you get the chance to, there's a little guy that stands out in front of the motel, and he's got on a top hat, and he's got on a tuxedo, and he is called a porter. And he's the one that stands there, and he is not the building, or he is not the door. The door's beside of him, but he knows what is behind the door. If you ask him if, you know, I need to get to room 300, sir, he said, okay, you go in the door, you turn left, you go up two flights of stairs, you get on elevator number 4. He knows right where those rooms are. All right? But he's not the door, but he knows what's in the door. So God has sent this porter in each church age to show us the way, the truth, and the life, to show us the door, Jesus Christ. I like Brother Jess in his study at his church there. He has where Brother Branham is pointing the finger. You know, he's indicting the generation there. And he's pointing his finger, but he's got the Hoffman's head of Christ on one side of a picture and got Brother Branham pointing this way. And he says, a true prophet only points you to Christ. And that's the truth. A true prophet or a true porter will only point you to Christ. That's why that Brother Branham was able to go into the church ages and was able to pull out these messengers, because there was a lot of them that maybe did lean toward organization, or this one did this, or this one did that. But there was a pattern messenger named Paul. Paul was the pattern messenger, and he was the one that brought the message to his day. Now, if you got your quotes now, let's take and read. If you look on the first page, you've got this drawing of the church ages. And now we're going to go to number C. Don't ask me why I started at C, because I don't really remember why I started at C. In the first seal, Brother Branham, let's just set the stage here. And let's just read what's underlined. Now he takes the book of seals. The book of seals, or a book sealed with seals, breaks them and shows them, look, at the end of the age now, after the intercessory is over, the church ages has done finished up. He come in the first age, the Ephesian age, revealed, sent the messenger. Notice what happened as we go along. Here's the plan of it. First thing happens, there's an announcement in heaven first. What happened? A seal is open. What is that? A mystery is unfolded. And when a mystery unfolds, then a trumpet sounds. It declares a war, or a plague falls, and a church age open. See, what is the war part? The angel of the church catches the mystery of God not fully yet revealed. Now, what's he talking about? The angel of the church. There were 7 angels. Brother Joe doing a good job down in Sunday school teaching on angels, which is good. Because there are angels, and you and I are considered in the Bible sometimes as messengers to the church ages. There are 7 angels. All right? Said, the angel of the church catches the mystery of God not yet fully revealed. Why? We must be first partakers of the fruit. So Paul got the message first, because he was the first porter to stand in the door. And was, if you want to say, he was the first person hired by the Hilton to go up into the Hilton and find out what it was and find whatever room looked like. And then he didn't stay there. He come back down, put a suit of clothes on, started preaching. He comes outside and he starts telling you what's inside, or what's inside the door, and how to get in. See, he says right here, he catches this mystery of God, and then he goes forth to the people after the mystery has been given to him. Goes forth to the people. What does he do? He begins to proclaim that message, and what does it do? It starts a war, a spiritual war, or a ride. That's what we were doing in Jamaica. That's why that was written in there, because we did this down there several years ago. So now, let's turn back. Let's save time, not read all number C. Let's just read a few of them. But back on the first part of your page, on the first page right here that says the 7 church ages, look down where it says note. I've kind of condensed what Brother Branham was saying in that whole number C part. All right? On your first page right here, first page. It says note. The messenger to the age does three things. He condemns the world, he rebukes the previous age, and he brings his message. All right, that was kind of condensed. If you'll read quote C, that's basically what Brother Branham is saying, the three things that I broke down that we can see that the messenger, when he comes and just being on this earth, condemns the world. All right, just being here. All right, then what does he do? He rebukes the previous people from falling away. Watch Paul. Paul is saying grievous wolves will come in. Why? He started seeing the age begin to fall. All right. And then what does he do? He steps out and he brings his message. All right. And he does what God sent him to do. The messenger stands and he brings his message. But if you'll look, the prophet said the messenger comes at the end of the age, always the end of the age. And Paul was our pattern. But I kind of want to take it a little bit, maybe even from what I did in St. Augustine. But I want you to see a pattern, because what happens is, if Paul came at the end of the... This is Ephesians, right? Then we'll go through in just a second. But this is the Ephesian church age. If Paul was to come at the end of the age, the prophet says the messenger always comes at the end of the age. Why? He comes at the end of the age. And he condemns the world, rebukes the previous message. Not the message, but the people from falling away from that message. All right? And then he brings his message. Now, Paul would have come at the end of the age. He would have come in here, say here. All right? And what would he have done? He'd have had to been the messenger to Smyrna, right? But it's not. He was the messenger to the Ephesian church age. Now, he was a pattern also that we can look at. We can look at a pattern. Forgive me, I'm going to have to use the prayer cloth. I didn't bring my thing. But why did he pick Paul? Because Paul was a pattern messenger. But watch how God goes all the way back in time, and he picks up these patterns. And Brother Donnie and I were talking about this going to Bass Pro Shop to get that gun for Dad, and I really appreciate all the gifts for him. I appreciate all the gifts that you gave him. The greatest gift he wants is to see us all in heaven. You know, you can give him whatever you want to down here, but just being on the other side is enough. And you know, like Brother Branham said, give me a cabin somewhere and forget about the rest. So, but let's look at the pattern just a minute. Let's kind of get away from this just a little bit. We may be a little long today, but that's good. I'm going to try your patience. I'm going to try your turkey and dressing. All right, so look, but God is, like we were looking back, like Sister Johnny said, last week was a roadmap, and it really was. It was a roadmap how to get to heaven, how to get to the change of the body. Now, we can preach that, but we got to actually punch it in that GPS, or we got to actually get in that car, turn on the ignition, and we got to actually do the driving. That GPS will sit there and say, turn left, turn left, turn left, turn left. And until you turn left, guess what? It's going to keep saying, turn left, turn left, turn left. About that third turn, it'd be out the window. But let's look and see that God is in continuity. Let's think, well, you know, God does the same thing. Turn left. Go to church. Listen to the preacher. Do right, you know. And if you don't, guess what? You got to take that same test all over again. All right, so God's the same way. But remember, it's for our perfection. Thanks, sir. But let's look right here and see. And it was something that struck me the other day when I was doing this, but let's back up just a second. There's three great men that we have as a pattern to go by, I believe. Now, Brother Donnie brought out a good point. He said, well, what about Abraham? Now, the Bible said Abraham was a friend of God, and he was the father of our faith, right? But who in the Old Testament was our pattern messenger? Who was the one that God came down and we can pattern him from Moses to Paul, to even to Brother Branham. You got it on you. I actually didn't do this until the other night, and it really turned out good, I think, because you can see the pattern. Because Brother Branham said that there was seven church ages in the Old Testament, correct? Right. Now, he never spoke of one but one thing, and that's right here. This guy named Elijah came by when Ahab and Jezebel got married. He said that was church and state marrying. That was the Dark Ages. So that's the same as our fourth age here. So we know that that was a church age. And you say, well, no, Elijah's supposed to be. Well, our Elijah is at the end, but he's not the last Elijah. The last Elijah is the one that goes to Israel. So it really doesn't matter where you put these Elijahs. We just had to have an Elijah prophet at the end time to restore all things. Because it was Jesus Christ that brought all this back. This is the spirit of Jesus Christ called the spirit of Elijah. But who would be your pattern messenger in the Old Testament? I believe it would be a man named Moses. Why? And it just took a little bit to convince Brother Donnie, because he was asking me about, and it's good, about why not Abraham, because he's the father of our faith, and his faith is what we need. But Moses said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me. And that pattern will continue all the way through. And you look at your chart, Moses. Then you look at Paul, which is our pattern messenger for here, right? 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 Now who come right here? Oh, we got another Elijah. Which was who? John the Baptist. To introduce who? Christ. Down here. This one's going to come and take us this way. Alright? So we have a pattern in the Old Testament of Moses coming, because what? Moses was he was the compositor of the first five books of the Bible. If you look on your chart, you'll see very, very prominent all the way through with Moses' life, Paul's life, and Brother Branham's life, you'll see a pattern going on here. Moses had a strange birth, would you not say? Paul, we don't hear much about his birth, but Brother Branham, we know his birth was strange. We know that Moses came up under Pharaoh, Paul come up under Gamaliel, and Brother Branham under Dr. Davis and F.F. Bosworth, which was a what? A movement. Doesn't matter if you say what you want to, Pharaoh was the movement of the day, all right? So Moses was influenced by him at first. Paul was influenced by Gamaliel at first. And then Brother Branham was influenced by Dr. Davis and Brother Bosworth. But what was their pattern? Their pattern was is they took that foundation and they moved further than the people that they started with. Moses didn't stay in Egypt and become an Egyptian. He got called out, all right? Paul the same way. Paul did not stay under Gamaliel. He got called out because Gamaliel couldn't understand things that Paul said. F.F. Bosworth and Brother Branham's the same way. Started with Dr. Davis. Dr. Davis couldn't understand Brother Branham, but he just didn't stay in a Baptist church. He moved on further. All right, so there's another type. And then they all were under a religious order. I'm going down the list here. You can look and see. Moses was in a very powerful place in Egypt. Paul was in Jerusalem and Brother Branham was in the United States. But they did not let that go to their head. They took and come out, and each one of those, Egypt, Jerusalem, and the United States, have all been condemned because they didn't take that messenger's message and go on with it. Alright? What happened to Egypt? We know for a fact what happened to Egypt in the book of Exodus. What happened to them when they turned the word down? Jerusalem, the same way. What happened to Jerusalem? It got destroyed. And then we know that we got destruction coming for the United States of America because it turned down the message of Brother Branham. All right? So we also look here that Moses had a burning bush experience, right? He had a light. Paul had a light experience. And Brother Branham had a light experience, or an angel. Come down and give him a commission. Where did Moses get his commission? In front of the burning bush. Where did Paul get his commission? In front of that, when he come from Damascus on that road where it says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That was Paul's conversion, going into his conversion. Then in 47, Brother Branham received his commission to preach the gospel. Where did they get their greatest teachings? From the desert. Moses had to go where? 40 years in the desert to meet a burning bush. Alright? Paul had to take the Old Testament scrolls and he went to the backside of the desert in Egypt for 3.5 years to study the scrolls, and he was taught of one person, and that's God. Moses got it straight from God. Paul got it straight from God. And Brother Branham got it straight from God. All right? Because Brother Branham had to go to Tucson in 1963, a desert, to receive his real message, the message he was bringing to take us out of here, because we're coming to one place right here, and that's Revelation 4. Where that door had been closed all through these church ages. And we're going to see that in just a minute. But in Revelation 4:1, the Bible says that door's open. And that's the one we go up through. All right? Now, Moses was a missionary. Paul was a missionary, obviously. And Brother Branham, remember the commission that the angel gave him? It said, do the work of an evangelist. All right? So there's your other, another pattern. I just want to set this sort of get your mind at ease about what we're going to do. All right? Moses was caught up into heaven, right? Caught up into heaven, saw the temple, come back down and wrote it, right? Paul went up in the third heaven, come back down and said, there's things that I can't even talk about. But he had a lot of revelation. And then Brother Branham was obviously caught up into the third heaven, or whatever heaven, first heaven he said, and saw the dead saints. So there's another pattern. Moses was the only one of the Old Testament saints that wrote his own 5 books of the Bible. So in other words, his message was written down by himself. Paul was the only one that in the New Testament that wrote his letters, and those letters became the Bible. And Brother Branham was the only one that I know of that has every sermon that he preached in tape and book form. So there you got your written word. By Moses, Paul, and Brother Branham. Now, we know that Moses went up on a mountain. There was not anything that said that Paul had went up on a mountain unless the one he went to Athens up on Mars Hill, which he doesn't have. But he did. He did declare the God that they didn't know about. All right. But Moses went up on a mountain to get the Ten Commandments. Brother Branham went up on a mountain to get his Ten Commandments, which were the seals. So here we go as another pattern. Moses, I believe, knew that there was one God, because that's where Israel got their one God doctrine, was from what Moses said. Hear ye, O Israel, your God is one. Paul, Brother Branham said, knew that the Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new, so there's not two or three gods. And we know that Brother Branham came and restored all the doctrine of one true and living God back to a point to where we could actually understand it. All right? Now, it's really strange, too, that Moses had to give a writing of marriage and divorce. Paul comes up and has to do the same thing. And guess what? William Branham comes at the end time, and he has to give a grace of marriage and divorce. So, the reason I'm telling you this is because have confidence in what these people say, because Moses, Paul, and Brother Branham had to be special to give this grace, because it wasn't given to anybody else to give it. Was not given for any other man to walk out there and say, hey, it's all, you know, it ain't all right what you done, but go on as you are. God will make a way. Moses said the same thing. Paul said the same thing. And William Branham said the same thing. It's kind of strange, too, that Paul had a Demas and Brother Branham had a Demas. I just threw that in, kind of remembered that the other day. And, you know, I didn't put where Moses came after Pentecost, but you know, what is Pentecost? It's a release. Moses' message did come after Pentecost. Because at the Passover, when they ate the lamb, what did they do? They went out. And they came to the mountain on the 50th day, which was the Pentecost. So Moses' message did come after Pentecost. Paul's message come after Pentecost. And Brother Branham's message come after Pentecost. So there we go, and we see that those are the pattern messengers. And I hope maybe that helps you in a little bit to kind of see what the Bible says about each one of these people. But see, that's our pattern, church. That's who we have to pattern after. These are not just people that we can't attain to, because you know what? Moses was not a born-again Christian. Paul was a born-again Christian. Brother Branham was, and so you and I have to be. We have to come to a place to see that God, if God thought so much of Moses, he put him in the end time. No, God put Moses right where he needed to be. He was the pattern of that whole Old Testament. Because what did they do when they come right here? What was Gamaliel and all them looking back and saying? We have the teachings of Moses. We are Moses' children. Okay, they said we're Abraham's children. But see, Abraham didn't have anything written down. It was written of Abraham what happened. But Moses actually wrote down everything they believed. That's what the Jews believe, is what Moses wrote down. All right? So they had it. And it's just like Danny said, and that struck me the other day when he said that, and it's true. Moses would come back to these people in this time right here and say, hey, that's the guy I was telling you about. No, Moses, you told us to listen. No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. You quote me because they quoted Moses. Every time Jesus walked up, they said, Moses said, the law said, this said, that said. But what did they miss? They missed the very Christ that was in Moses, the very Christ that was in that word. That's the part they missed. They didn't miss the letter part. We got the letter part. Same thing with this message of the hour. You can take a message book and you can hold it up and shake it and say, this is it, this is it. That's fine. But if it ain't in you, it's not it. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So that letter will kill you. But Moses came and brought a message. Paul came and brought a message, and then we had a messenger in the end time come by the name of William Branham. We know that. He came to bring a message. And they were all porters that were standing at a time where that, and I wrote something down. I was going to read it to you. I saw it on a sign. When you are down to nothing, God is up to something. If you're a Christian, you believe that. When you're down to nothing, God's up to something. All right? So just keep that with you. But now we have Moses coming, bringing a message. Coming all the way down through the church age, coming to John the Baptist. And what did John the Baptist do? One of the greatest. He was the bridge. He brought people so that Christ could come on the scene. But what did they do when Christ got here? They immediately began to reject him. All right? Then he leaves and goes up and says, I'm going to come back into a group of people. And that's how it begins down here, where Paul can be the messenger to the Ephesian church age, is that Paul had an age before him. I know some of you know this already, but some of you don't, so... Because right here is where Paul was standing. He was standing at the end of the age of Pentecost. Because what happened? When Christ died in AD 30, come back on the day of Pentecost 50 days later, which was still in AD 30, I believe your Ephesian church age didn't start till AD 53. Now, as we go through this, I want you to realize one thing. That there was no bride caught in an age. Okay? All of the bride was caught up out of the age. And on the chart that you see here, for the young ones, for the kids sitting here, this black was bad people. And this white was the Holy Spirit in all the people in that age. So in the first age right here, there was a lot of people that believed. There was a lot of believers. But it got worse and worse down to that middle age, and we'll get to that in just a second. But there's from AD 30 to AD 53, Paul comes on the scene somewhere in that time, and he receives the Holy Spirit, and he begins to converse with those people that were at the day of Pentecost. Peter, James, and John, and all them were alive and still teaching, and you know, Paul met them. When Paul met him, he told him, he said, Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Now remember, while you're turning, remember what I said. The messenger does three things. He condemns the world, rebukes the previous age, and then he brings his message. All right? So now let's watch Paul showing the people in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. I like Paul. He's very confident. But he's confident because he's had an experience. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. And he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Now, what's Paul doing? He's going back to the Corinthians and telling them all about Pentecost, and he's bringing them to the present day. Because he said, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one of born out of due time. Now, we know Paul wasn't supposed to be there, or he would have been there. But what was he saying? He was telling all those disciples, James, even the 500 brethren, he was saying, hey, you're living by the gospel that I'm preaching. That's what he says right here. He says, by which also you are saved. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Pretty confident guy, right? But he was confident because he had had an experience. God had told him that's what he was going to do. He was going to be a messenger. All right? But he was telling them, he was saying, hey, I should have been one of you. And we'll save reading some of the quotes to save time. That he told them, he said, I was one born out of due time. In other words, I should have been at that day of Pentecost, and maybe y'all wouldn't have fallen away, because there's another part of the story. Because Paul starts telling them, if you'll keep reading on through the Scriptures and putting Scripture together with Scripture, Paul is showing them that grievous wolves have come in. They've already, from A.D. 30 to whenever Paul was speaking this in A.D. 50, that A.D. 59, that grievous wolves has already begun to do what? Eat away what had happened on that day of Pentecost. Because they had a lot of great signs and wonders, but there was a lot of wolves got in and was doing away, or because Paul was saying, hey, you'll be judged by my gospel, and you're not living my gospel, what's the problem? So what's he doing? Paul is doing exactly what these notes say. He's condemning the world just by being there, for being a messenger. He rebukes the previous age. So he's standing there rebuking the Pentecostals, saying, hey, you fell away from your first love. If you'll read that in Revelation, it'll tell you where the church age is, that he rebukes them because they went away from their first love. So here's Paul not being the messenger to Pentecost, because who was the messenger to Pentecost? You say, well, Peter. No, Peter wasn't. Peter was the spokesperson. The Holy Ghost was the messenger to that age of Pentecost. All right, the Holy Ghost is the one that fell, and it was the acts. It wasn't the acts of the apostles; it was the acts of the Holy Ghost in the apostles. All right, so it was the Holy Ghost in that age doing the work. And if you're catching on, you're going to see the same thing happen right here. All right, so that brings our pattern in. But let's go through and see what happens here, and why that Paul now can come at the end of the age. All right, what age did he come at the end of? This one. He come at the end of the Pentecostal age, stood as the porter. Some of them had closed the door. And he was saying, hey, this is the door back to the Word of God. And then he brings his message to Ephesus and does those three things. Condemns the world, rebukes the previous message, and then he brings his message to Ephesus. Now, this is what I like. This is what they rejoiced about, because I believe they caught on to what I was saying. Paul died in A.D. what, 66 or 69? Brother Branham marked that age going on another almost 100 years. Now, who carried that message? It was not Paul. It was the people. So listen, let's not degrade the messengers, but the messengers do one thing. That porter is not going to go to the bedroom with you. He's going to show you how to get there. He's going to show you where the door is. He's going to show you what room. He's going to even maybe describe the very room you're going to be in. But he didn't go in that room with you. That's only for you and your lover, you and your wife. That's only for Jesus Christ and his bride. All right? But he catches the message. Remember, I read it. Now, quote number C. He catches the message right from the mind of God, steps down and begins to bring his message. And you know what? God called him off the scene and still had about 100 years. And the people carried that message right on to Paul. But now as they kept keep that message going of Paul, all of a sudden what happened? Started doing this. That message come out here and it started doing like this. Grievous wolves got back in to the true church, right? Because remember, about 300 A.D. is when the Nicene Council, that Irenaeus had just come out of that age at that time. But here they go falling down. Well, what did God do? He brings an Irenaeus on the scene at the end of Paul's message, or Paul's church age, the Ephesian church age. He brings that messenger. Puts him right here. Sets him out in front of the door and says, this is the guy you got to listen to now. He knows about what's behind the door. Listen to this guy. Now Irenaeus then comes at the end of the Ephesian age. Brings his message. And let's read. Let's lay this thing right together. You're going to have to skip on over a few. And then we may have to go back. Because we'll go back in just a minute to another one. Look right here. Let's go to... That's why, like I was telling them down there, I did this in two sermons, and I had to cut a little bit of this out. I'll find it in a minute. Oh, here we go. Because what he done was, and I'm trying to find it. Oh, here we go. Number H. I knew I'd find it. I need to mark that for the next time. Because Brother Branham's going to lay it together, and we'll bring it up. All right? Number H, first seal. Then along come the Pentecostal age with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they cabbage down on that. Now see, he called that a Pentecostal age. That's the Philadelphia, no, the Laodicean. But then we found in the study of the scripture that the messenger to the age come right at the end of the age every time. Paul come at the end of the age. We find out that Irenaeus come at the end of the age. Martin, end of the age. Luther, end of the Catholic age. Now, what was the Catholic age? I just told you which one it was. It's when church and state married. Right? In the fourth age. So there's your Catholic age. That was the fourth age. Not saying that it was a Catholic age, but that's the time when the Catholics took over. So Luther come at the end of the what? Catholic age. Right? Luther, the end of the Catholic age. That was right here. So where was Luther? He's right here. End of the Catholic age. He didn't come at the end. He was a messenger to whatever that one was. All right. So this is your message of justification and sanctification. We'll write that there now. So that's what's going to keep our pattern going. All right. So Luther comes right here. This is Martin Luther. And he brings a message to the Sardesian age. Right? Brings his message. They had fell so far away here. Each one of them had fell. come down, fell, had to come back up, come down, fell, had to come back up. All right, come down, fell down, had to come back up. Luther done, restoration, restored, out of the Catholic Church, he brings justification in as the just shall live by faith. And then Brother Branham keeps going. He says, Wesley, at the end of the Lutheran age, so here's Wesley. All right, so this is Wesley coming at the end of the Lutheran age. You got Wesley. All right. And Pentecost at the end of the age of sanctification. What age of sanctification is that? John Wesley's age, right? Wesley was sanctification. So at the end of that, come another Pentecost. Because you had a Pentecost here. You had a Pentecost here. And now when this thing's getting ready, because it kind of struck me the other day. When Brother Branham started and brought his message, he had done a work of restoration. We know that. And restored the thing back to the faith of the Father. But really, his message that started in 1963 was to a different age. I know there's no more church ages, but there's only one more thing left. Because remember, millennium is not ours. Hello? Millennium is not ours. That's for the Jews, right? Huh? What's to us? That's ours. Future home is ours. Because John saw the holy city coming down as a what? Bride adorned for her husband. He didn't describe that in anything else. He described it right here. Sure, we come back for this honeymoon time in the millennium. But that is for the Jews. That is for time people. We're not time people. So Brother Branham brought us a message that brought us right into the, just took and stuck us right in the future home. Believe that if you want to. If you're born again today, die, get burned up, blown up, or make the change. You're going to that future home. All right? Same as these, but that door had to be open for everybody. This is my point. It wasn't just for this age. Everybody back through here is waiting right here. So you and I understand how to get the door open. Alright? So now we came through that. But now we have now a prophet comes on the scene and he brings a message. Now let's read here one more. Number I, just keep going. Questions and answers on the seals. You see, each of these ages only taking a dip in the Holy Spirit. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. No messenger to the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism. Right? We can stop right there, and that same thing happened here. And this same thing happened here. The fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost came right here on the day of Pentecost. No messenger to the age. Peter was a spokesperson to say, hey, it's here. But the Holy Ghost is the one that did the acting into the people. Same thing happened on the day of Pentecost, 1906, Azusa Street. These people brought back the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a partiality because they were Trinitarians. These weren't, but look, we've had all these ages that all that had been eaten down. Back to I will restore, like we showed on the other chart. God had to restore and bring all that back. So he winked at the ignorance, but still the true baptism of the Holy Ghost came back on this, in this Pentecostal age, with no messenger. Alright? Because there was no messenger to the age. Alright? The Holy Ghost came himself. Not making 8 church ages. This is your 7th age. Doesn't matter. You got 7 is completion. But you had to get Brother Branham over here to preach us into here. Because if not, you say, well, how do you... Well, right here. This is all promised. Go down, come up. Right? Go down, come up. Because Brother Branham had to restore. He told the Pentecostals. He said, If you last 20 more years, you'll be worse than the Catholics took 2,000 years to be. And they'd have. Pentecostal people now are the most hateful, arrogant people you'll ever see in your life. I know, because I worked with one for a long time. He'd cuss you out in a heartbeat and cry and praise the Lord and pray for people in the next breath. So that's just the way they are. But that's the spirit of the age. Brother Branham said, you've cabbaged down, you put a period, right? You put a period where I put a comma. Because if you put a comma, that means this included all this. They put a period and said there's nothing past this. But now they missed that. Brother Branham said, remember, he said, that great thing y'all are looking for, it's already come, which was here. They're looking for it to come at the coming of the Lord. He said, you missed that. That's done away. You already had that. But see, there's no more of this. Because there's no more age. Everything in this age had to be pointing upward. All right? The Pentecostals got to eat down. Then you had a man stand that come in that seventh age, and he took Trinitarian and took oneness, remember? And he said he put both trees down in the ground and said it grew into a great tree, which is the great truth of one true and living God. That's the basis of everything that we do. But what did Brother Branham say when he got here? Let's turn back to number F. And what did Paul say? He said, I was one born out of due time, right? Now watch Brother Branham. He comes in 1956. And if you'll look on number F, that second deep calleth to the deep was the Washington, D.C. one that we have the video of. And he said it a million times, but we didn't catch it until Brother Dale brought it. And I said, well, man, that's what he said on the video. Because what did he say? I'm nothing, the least among you. I was born out of season amongst you full gospel people. I'm a Baptist. And you know more about the scripture maybe than I do, but I know the author real good. Now, what did he say on Deep Calleth to the Deep? The one with the video in Washington, D.C. It's not me, Christians. No, I'm just a man, chief of sinners, but one born out of season to you full gospel people. Now, that's the same thing Paul said. Paul said, I was born out of due time. What? In other words, I was born here and should have been in this age to help you. Brother Branham was telling them full gospel people the same thing Paul was. He said, hey, if I'd have been there in 1906, y'all probably might not have fell away like you're falling away now. He was really rebuking them, and they didn't know anything about it. He was really telling them, you've fallen away. I was born out of season to you full gospel people. By God's grace, he lets me call you brothers and sisters. So we see the pattern works all the way through. Paul coming at the end of the Pentecostal age. Brother Branham coming at the end of the Pentecostal age, bringing his message, which was in two parts. We've already covered that. Remember, we went through that not too long ago, and Brother Dale has many millions of times. How that the messenger was to do two things. The first thing that Brother Branham was to do, or the messenger of the age was to do, was to restore back to the faith of the fathers, the Malachi 4. But if we stay with Malachi 4, we just get restored back to where? Right here. See? And for those of you on tape, or those of you sitting here, don't get me wrong. That's not a bad place to be, but that's not what this age calls for. This age calls for us to go up through that open door in Revelation 4. Because in Revelation 3, it tells us that we can sit in his throne, as he sits in the Father's throne, we can sit in his throne. But Revelations 4:1, Brother Branham said the bride goes up. The only way they're going to go up is through that open door. All right, now, I hadn't used my notes, so I had to go back to my notes. All right. So now we've come up to this time, and we've come and we see that Brother Branham preached up until 63. He restored back the faith of the fathers and brought us to a place where we were talking about the other day, and he called it was the eagle anointing, right? All right. So what did I say? I was telling you the eagles did. Eagles don't drink milk. Eagles only eat meat. From the time they're born till the time they die, they only eat meat. I was telling Brother Donnie the other day, and you can take this with a grain of salt, or you can take it, I'm going to say it anyway. We've been here around this message for a long time. Why are we still in the same place we're in? Why? I say we. I say that we're still drinking milk. Milk's not bad for you. But I'd hate to know that I just drank milk 3 meals a day. And a lot of you, to be plain, don't even get to the table. Because this is the table. This is where you get your food. Right here. You can listen on the internet all you want to. You can stay home with mama all you want to. You can stay home with grandpa all you want to. This is where you get your food. Right here. You can go play ball. You can work. Whatever you want to do. This is where you get your food. If you're an eagle, this is where you're going to feed from. Right here. If you're not, then you'll take, Brother Brown said, you'll eat any slop. You'll eat anything the world will give you. But Brother Brown and people come in at the end of that Pentecostal age, he brought a message and he ratcheted up a little bit higher. Because we had to get out of this age right here. And he had to come and bring something to get us out of this world. That's why in 63 he said the Bible became a brand new book. It opened up into things that he'd never seen before. And then the eagle began to scream. And we're supposed to come and eat the what? Carcass. Right? Where the carcass is, there's where the eagles will be gathered. But what happens right here? Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. So the door must have been closed. It was shut. All right? He was trying to knock and trying to get back in. All right? But we had a man in the end time. I showed you the pattern of Moses, Paul, and William Branham as our pattern. But Brother Branham took us to a place, and really, what we were talking about last week, he just stowed us up into a realm, and it's just hard to explain. It's hard to know where to stop and then just say, well, it's left up to you. But it's left up to us to get you there. All right? We're dependent on God through a man, to get us here. But it's like I told you when we got to the headstone the other day, there's not really anything left except just doing what you're supposed to do. Thank you. Exactly. Thank you. That's right. Exactly. That was my point coming up. The only things left to do is this is on our side. There's no way. You know, when Brother Branham made this statement one time, and it just really was astounding. He said, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He ought to know. It was around him a lot. We maybe need to step into that realm sometime ourselves. He said, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. You know, like Brother Dick said, we're the ones got to open the door. But, you know, he's not going to stand there and beat that door down. He's going to knock. And if we don't grab that doorknob and open that door, we don't get in. We don't let him in. I always told you a long time ago that what's going to happen in this end time is that we're going to come to a place that we're going to have to show our true colors. Amen. Study that about an eagle sometime. I don't have time because I'm going to stop. Study about an eagle. An eagle is a different bird. He flies higher. But you know what? The poor old eagle goes through a molting stage, too. And that's some of you are going through a moping stage about now. moping, molting, whichever one. But what happens is the other eagles gather together. And that calcium that gets over that eagle's eyes and over his mouth, the other eagles get together and they actually feed that eagle and they actually take their strong beak and they peck until they peck that off of that other eagle. And what happens? He becomes a new eagle. All right? And that's the point that me and you have come to. I believe we've come to a place. And I told you the other day, I've been trying to do a little bit on the kind of the gap between the sixth and the seventh. Always in your Bible, there's six seals written in the Bible, and then it stops and talks about something else. Then it comes back to a seventh seal. Then you go to the vials. You'll see the vials. You'll see a lot of these sixes. Well, God created the world in 6 days, and what did He do? He rested. He stopped. But during that time, men fell. During this time right here is this time of getting out of here. This is not another age. Pentecostal age is done. Moses has been typed to the T. Alright? Because he said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me, and he'll be the one you have to hear. Paul says, you'll be judged by my gospel. In other words, I'll say you got to be perfected by his gospel. Alright? Brother Branham comes in and says the same thing Paul says. If an angel from heaven, and like I was telling you the other day, if all these people's got all these big ideas how that we're supposed to scatter, and I don't know if Daddy's listened to the tape yet. I told you about the squeeze. The only squeeze we worried about is squeezing in our clothes right now. We're not worried about a squeeze that's going to squeeze us, but the squeeze is going to get us out of here. But listen, this is my whole point. Everything from this point forward, that's why Brother Branham could say in 1977, he said at the end of the Gentile age, Christ to the Jews. Because people look, I want you to look, for what I did last week and for what, that's fulfilled almost the whole Bible. Because we don't get this, the only thing we get is this from now on, which is what? Revelations 22, the last chapter in the book, almost. All right? So what are we still here for? We got work to do. But as I told him, you know, Brother Branham in 77, he knew something was coming because he could see it. But it was like I told him there, and this is just what I believe. This is my thought. Because during this time right here, God always had a lap over. Actually, these church ages should be drawn like this. Okay? Everybody understand that? But I didn't want to do that to confuse you. But they're supposed... Brother Branham said there was a lap over, a time that God winked at the ignorance of these people, bringing them into this age. Wesley's people could not have swallowed Brother Branham's message if there had not been a Pentecostal age in between there to ratchet up just a little bit higher, come from Wesley right into Pentecost and right on up into the message. If Brother Branham would have brought on the scene here, why, they would probably killed him. But see, Wesley's people come out of that sanctification. The Pentecostal people understood what that was going on. But when they come, they brought a message that brought God back alive in the people. Because it doesn't matter if they were Trinitarians or whatever. God was alive in those people. Speaking in tongues. You ought to read about what happened during that 1906 to about 1920-something in that Azusa Street time. That God was healing the sick, raising the dead. Speaking in tongues, you know, people were getting saved, getting healed. But what happened was, God winks at our ignorance so long, and then He calls, the Bible says, all men to repentance. Alright? So see, as you got these lapovers in here, 1977, the reason I say this, because it was the end of the Gentile, this is Gentile, right? From here back, that's Gentiles. That's us. Jews can be saved or whatever, but that's Gentile. He said the end of the what? Of the Gentile age, right? And the return of Christ to the Jews. Or the going up of the Gentile age, alright? Or ending. And it did end, I believe, in 1977. What I believe is that even when Brother Branham was on the scene preaching, he was preaching to Trinitarians that were born again. And like I told you last week, he never condemned them women preachers that come up on that platform. Now, he condemned them in his message, but under the anointing, he never condemned them. God winked at people's ignorance till that day right there. God winked at the ignorance of people even in this message till 1977. He winked at their ignorance, not knowing coming, because really, I was here during that time. Joyce was here. A lot of you others were here physically in this church at that time. And it was still a lot of just Pentecostal babies. Daddy knows that. He'll tell you, amen. Brother Colley was here, some of them. It was Pentecostal babies. God winked at F.F. Bosworth being one of the great men of faith, but he was a Trinitarian. He was a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. I believe God winked at the ignorance till 1977, and then he shut the door to all denominations. Because there come a day, if he still now winked at people's ignorance. No, there come a time in these ages where he winked at their ignorance for a time, but right here, he said right here, he would condemn the world by those preachers being there, preaching the gospel, rebuke the previous age, and then bring his message. What did he do? He brought a message to bring the people into here. Then it kind of lapped over, and he brought it so far and went down. This messenger picked it up. Same way with Brother Branham. Now, who picked it up here? Brother Brown's off the scene, 1965. Who picked it up? You and I have took into a bride age that was like no other. Because these people were called out, sealed away. We're still here. These people can't make anything happen anymore than what's already happened. You and I can make it happen. Because we're now into a bright age, not just going. Because see, these people were called out of the age, and when they died, they went into a bride chamber or wherever you want to call it, sixth dimension or whatever. But after 1977, I don't believe God winked at the ignorance of the denominations anymore. He said it's either one God or nothing. It's either baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or it's nothing. Because the prophet, remember, a prophet's doing two things. A prophet preaches to people here, and he prophesies to a group of people that's coming. Right? Right? That's what Moses said. God will raise up a prophet like unto me. Well, he was prophesying way over here. Right? Brother Branham was prophesying in all the preaching he was doing to a people that's going to bridge that 1977. And he said, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, baptism come from the pits of hell. Now, how could he say that, though, and God let people like F.F. Bosworth into the kingdom? He had to wink at their ignorance until they come to a place to where now anything can happen. Anything. Because everything's been done for you and I except that. That's why do you think Brother Branham said, watch Israel? There's your timepiece. Watch them. They're the ones that you're going to have to deal with now. Watch what they're doing. Because he said they think that God's coming back after them, but basically what he's doing is he's coming to get us. Because they missed it. But if you have any questions, ask them. We just are a special group of people, and it's not something that we get up in the morning and beat our chest, and sometimes it's just hard to get up in the morning. And we beat our chest just to get our heart pumping. Much less saying that we're a bride. But listen, from the kids to the adults, you're a special group of people. These people were not pressurized. The great Wesleyan age, the great Lutheran age, even the great age of Ephesus. You know how many people was in that church? 12. God and Brother Branham called it a mighty church. We think we got to have numbers. No, we ain't got to have numbers. We got to have people in that number. All right? But right here, God knew those people were going to have to come to an end and go in a grave. But now right here, people, it's wide open. In 1977, God, I believe he opened the door. Now what do we got to do? You say, wow, if the door's open, we got to go through it. Remember one thing happened right here. Everything was taken care of right here at Calvary, right? Right? But a pardon is not a pardon until it's accepted as a pardon. He did it way long. He did it before the foundation of the world. But you and I have to accept that pardon. That he died, Sister Johnny, he died that me and you could stand, not in this age, not in this age, not in this age, not even with the great Moses. Man, I'd love to have been back there when, Sister Gail, you wouldn't have to buy your kids no clothes. You wouldn't have to worry about if they ate. God fed everybody. God clothed everybody. Water when you needed it. Rebecca asked me this morning, she said, will you put that water jug, I think it weighs about 40 pounds. She said, will you put that water jug up on that thing? I thought, man, if we was in the wilderness, I wouldn't have to do this. But listen, God didn't pick you for any of this. God didn't pick you for any of this. He picked you right here. Right here, today. Let's stand. Today is your day. Your day of salvation. Your day of pardon. You can say, well, that message, Brother Brown's message is good. I wish he was here. No, you would absolutely mess up every pattern down through, because what did Moses do? Moses brought his message and he went off the scene. Paul brought his message. I got it. And what did he do? He went off the scene. Brother Branham brought his message. What did he do? He went off the scene. It was the people that carried his message on. It was the people that carried Luther's message on. It was the people that carried Wesley's message on. Thank you. And it's the people that's going to carry this on. God didn't want a prophet to hang around it during all the age. Because everybody would do just like they did Brother Branham. They'd look right straight to him the whole time. God instituted that he was going to do it through people. And that's the way it's going to end up. He's going to do it not through one man. Don't have to come back and give us nothing. We just got to make sure the man's already here. The man Christ Jesus. What we got? Let's sing a song. 403
in the spiral book.
403 in the spiral book. Let's sing and worship. You ought to thank him sometime. You ever thank him for being in this age? Say, thank you, God. To the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from this creature that I once was. That's it right there. Oh, I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Though my sins were as scarlet, they're as white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I've been changed. I've been reborn. You ought to thank God. There's your ticket right there. Rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. When at last in His presence I stand above, He will wipe every tear from my eyes. And I'll thank Him for giving a wretch like me a new home beyond the sky. Sing it to Him. If you've been changed, have you been reborn? Has your life been rearranged? I hope so. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Sing a chorus again. I've been changed. I've been reborn. my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Though my sins were scarlet, white as snow, what we ought to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Any good? Give us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I like this one. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. So many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him. Have you ever just sat down someday and just thank Him for everything He's done for you? It may take a long time. But you know what? Just think about Him. Because all these ages down through time, they're going to want to know how we made it out of this age right here. They long to see this day. All those prophets, even Moses, he wanted to see this day right here. Because it takes everything Moses was, it takes everything Paul was, it takes everything that any of those ages, and it puts them into one. And that's me and you. That's me and you. Holy Spirit, You're a comfort to me. Adore You. I bow down before You. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Think it one more time. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. I love You. Adore You. I bow down before You. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Amen. You appreciate God? God's the one that did this. He handpicked us to be right here. And you know what? As I get older, little things don't bother me like they used to. You know, Brother Danny, we were talking the other day going trout fishing. He said, having trouble with a guy at work. And he said, what would you do? I said, as long as you didn't touch me, it's just idle words. It's all just idle words. Somebody could call me every name in the book, you know. And I ain't advocating turning the other cheek all the time. But pray for me. Maybe I should. But I mean, if somebody wants to do you physical harm, don't just lay there. But verbal harm, that's words. That's just words to aggravate you. And then when you find out one day that they find out that it don't aggravate you, they just quit. Because they can't get to you. They can't figure out what's going on. That's what Brother Brown said. Said he wanted to be where the devil couldn't figure out what was going on inside of him. Brother Brown said, you hold it in your heart. He said, the devil can't get in there. And that's exactly what you and I got to do. We're truly people, a secret group of people. We're a secret. Amen. This world is not looking at this little congregation and going, wow, those are the greatest people in the world. We might be nice, but I'm talking about bride material. I'm talking about rapturing material. They're not looking at us for that. They may say, oh, Brother Gary's a good guy, you know. He lives a good life, decent man. Don't have tattoos or don't have all these. You know, he's a decent guy. No, no, no. It's far more than that. This is God. This is God's economy on this earth. Walking through the devil's economy. And they don't know nothing about it. You and I are the only... This is the secret catching away. This is the secret coming of Jesus Christ right here. Not in an eastern sky, in a group of people. The Bible says you don't even have to be able to read. Ignorant and unlearned can understand this right here. If you'll ask God to do it. For the Lord to me. Are you satisfied today? All things are ready now. The combine I hear. He that hath an ear to hear. The evening time is here. The God of this evil age is blinding. That's exactly what he's doing today. The people who walk their own way, not according to God's word. Denying the things he does, of sending his only son. Rejecting the method of God, for this is the evening time. Sing it to him now before we go. This is the evening time. It's later than you think. The bride is preparing now for her Lord to meet. Amen. All things are ready now. The combine I hear. He that hath an ear to hear, the evening time is near. Listen now. There's darkness throughout the land. This world they don't understand. A prophet has walked this way, proclaiming the way to God. If you would be saved today. Amen. And follow this way. This word he said. Believing the word of God. For this is the evening time. This is the evening time. It's later than you think. The bride is preparing now for her Lord to meet. Is that what you're doing? Are you preparing? All things are ready now. The combine I hear. He that hath an ear to hear, the evening time is here. He that hath an ear to hear, the evening time is here. You know, I was listening the other day. Barack Obama said he wanted to put men on Mars in the next 15 years. Man's always been wanting to leave this earth. And they have to prepare for years and make this certain capsule with this certain oxygen. And all they got to do, read this. They've always wanted to leave the earth. Somebody asked me the other day, as a secretary, she said, where do you think we're going to live after all this is over with? I said, right here. I said, John was standing on earth and he saw the city coming down out of heaven on the earth. She said, I never saw it like that. I said, well, you think we're going to stand on clouds and float around and wave at each other? And I said, what do you think we're going to do? I said, we're human beings. I said, we were made in the likeness of God. And he said, that's the way we'd be. And she wrote a bunch. I give her a bunch of scriptures. But my point is, they don't know. People, they have more questions out there than you will ever believe. I'm talking about just simple questions. Not just Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and things that they get mad at you about. But things like heaven, the afterlife, what's going on, what's happening in the spiritual world, what all these things like that, what's happening in the natural world versus the spiritual world. They have no clue. That's why I said Brother Branham in 63, he broke into that laboratory and God just sent him on a journey. And it was an eternal journey, and the only reason he didn't take a rapture is because he had to get out of the way and let God himself come on this earth to do how he done in all the other patterns. What did he do? He brought a message, sent the messenger home, and put it in his people. He's got to do it by people. He can't do it by anything else. He's got to do it by people. Oh, absolutely.
And you got to be somewhere to fall away from it.
Fall away from it. That's right. Exactly. No, that's like Brother Branham said. I was reading it the other day. I was telling somebody that he said, it's going to come down to a razor's edge. He said, but the problem is, he said, you either got to fall off one side or the other. And he said, once you fall off, the wedge just keeps getting bigger. Because once you fall off of a wedge, remember, it doesn't drop straight down. It goes at an angle. Well, guess where you're going to go? You're just going to keep getting further and further away. That's why Brother Brown said about the gun. If you're 6 inches off at 50 yards, well, you'll never, ever get back to zero till you come back and change that dial on that scope. No way. You'll never get back. The bullet just keeps going off. But if you come back to the Old and New Testament and one true and living God and line them up, that's exactly what you're going to have. Let's bow our heads. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dave.
I just want to thank everybody for all of the gifts and everything and all of the presents for today and for my birthday. I appreciate it very much. And appreciate all of the food. It was really great. It was a wonderful meal. I thought we was cooking for an army when we got down there. You know, somebody did. And it was really wonderful and all. We really appreciate all of it, okay? Amen. Enjoy the message.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just give our brother. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity this afternoon to be able to sit down and listen to hear thy word expounded unto us. Now may we all, Lord, go about our way for this week of understanding and one thing, that we must become what was said unto us. Forgive us, Lord, and guide us, and thank you for everything. Thank you for giving us this day that we live in. We love you and we commit it to you now. Take care of the people on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.